Welcome to Zillionaire Superstars with Angie Z. I'm super excited this morning to have a Sydney local entrepreneur with me, Goose McGrath, CEO of Dash Dot Buyers Agents. Goose McGrath is also an author of Limitless, The Renegade's Guide to Building Wealth Through Property. McGrath helps entrepreneurs build scalable, profitable portfolios that pay them money. He transitioned from being addicted at one point to drugs and alcohol, finding himself broke, and managed to transition over into a healthy and sober and highly successful businessman running a six-figure business. McGrath believes it's important for business owners to focus on building a life and wealth outside of their business. A massive welcome to you, Goose.
It's an absolute pleasure to be on the show, and out of all the podcasts, it's really refreshing to be talking to a fellow podcaster from Sydney. So thanks for taking the time.
I know, I'm pretty excited too. I feel like my guests are always so far away.
Totally.
I love it.
We can almost cheers our morning coffee.
Definitely. A couple of those to start off the morning. All right, so let's go to some questions to help the audience get to know you a bit better. So in your own words, what do you do?
I help business owners, but not just business owners. I help business owners, and I would say the entrepreneurial among us, to really transition their profits or their earnings into sustainable wealth creation strategies that will pay them money. And that's the big function, because ultimately, you know, every human, and it doesn't matter whether you're a business owner or an aspiring business owner or a uni student or a single, we all want the same things: more time, more freedom, and we want more money. And that's what I help people to achieve in a shorter period of time than usually they believe is possible.
Gold. And we'll hear more about that shortly. We'll deep dive in. Where do you live?
I live in Bondi Beach. Now, I didn't always live in Bondi Beach. I actually lived in Victoria for a while, which at the moment everyone in Victoria can't really do a whole lot. We moved to Bondi Beach just around 1 year ago, and this is all sort of, yeah, I'm really happy here now. It's beautiful, live near the beach, life's great.
Magic. Yes, very blessed to be living in such a beautiful place, that's for sure. What's your favourite book or podcast?
Shameless plug, theinvestorlab.com.au. That's our podcast. We put so much energy and effort into that in a way that try and help people to create an actual tool that they can use to go and do all the stuff that we do in our business. So I think that's good. But I would say outside of that, I would say the most impactful book that I've read this year, there are a lot of really good books, right? The most impactful book that I've read this year would be The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham.
Yeah.
I think for any business owner, or in fact, anyone who just wants to think a little better, I would suggest that is required reading, and you should treat it. You should treat it like a daily vitamin. I would suggest. And in terms of favorite podcasts, I cycle through so many, but one that I keep going back to is James Shramko's Super Fast Business. Purely because it's been going for so long. It's been going for like 11 years. And so there's a constant treasure trove of stuff to go back on.
Magic. Well, I'll have to check that book and both podcasts out. Definitely. Who's been your most interesting guest on your podcast?
Oh, I like that. I would say the most interesting guest that I had was a financial planner, which he came on the podcast and we had the most interesting conversation. We talked about spirit. He's actually in Sydney too.
Yeah.
If anyone wanted to look him up, his name is Tristan Schifo, S-C-I-F-O, and he runs a company called Purpose Advisory. Now, the conversation that we had was like an intellectual acid trip. We spoke about mindset, spirituality, personality, the power of love, you know, the energy of money. We talked about all of this kind of
stuff.
You would not expect in a pretty dry
I love it.
With like a financial planner and a real estate, you'd be like, oh my God, you know, knock me out now. But I got to say, it was fantastic.
Oh, I love those. Yeah, gold. Definitely check that out for sure. What's your favorite charity?
My favorite charity, I would say, is Beyond Blue, because I think that depression and mental health is something that, you know, it's something that I've struggled with, some of my family struggled with. It's something that I think impacts so many people, and I believe that the more that we can help people, I have a belief, right? I'm going to just soliloquy for a second. I have a belief that the more that we can help everyone around us, a lot of people seek these really big tasks of like, I'm going to build a village in Tibet, which is amazing. But I think when I say charity starts at home, I don't necessarily mean to just spend money on local charities. What I mean is the closer that we can start to ripple an energy effect of positivity, freedom, choice, abundance, positive mindset, all of that kind of stuff, what that does is that will slowly create an energetic ripple which transfers through the rest of our community, which creates a tidal wave of positivity. And I believe that that's going to cause the greatest levels of social change. So, yeah.
Incredible. Absolutely. I'm with you on that one. It's such an important topic, and it's, you know, really hitting home for a lot of people at the moment, isn't it? With depression and suicide, and yeah, it's frightening. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your daily success ritual?
That's, you know what, it's, I'm so glad you brought this up. I changed it recently, and my God, it did not work. So
wow.
I tried to change things up, and so I actually have, I have a B5 size moleskin, actually is it nearly A4 size moleskin.
Right.
And just the square printed page, not lines. And every single morning I wake up, get a blank page. So I wake up, it's about 4:45 in the morning.
Yep.
I jump up, I get up, I do my normal stuff, make a cup of coffee, and I sit and I have what I call thinking time. Now, thinking time is so critically important to my day and my life, and it's been the key driver of the transition from me having nothing to me being where I am now. And every morning, I started doing this without really realizing I was journaling. I write out, you know, a few lines about where I'm at and try and just get my thoughts out of my head. And I clarify every day my goals. And I ask myself the one thing focusing question, you know, what is the one thing that I can do today such that by doing it, everything else would become easier or unnecessary?
Mm-hmm.
And I ask myself some very challenging questions. I'm like, I ask myself questions like, what would my business look like if I kept every client that ever came to speak with me? Or how would I operate my business differently if I only had one opportunity per month or something like that? And ask these kind of questions which really prompt you to challenge the way you think.
I'll say. Yeah.
Doing that practice daily keeps me really dialed in.
Where did you get the idea to do that, Goose?
A confluence of different places. You know, it started by me waking up every morning and literally writing out almost verbatim what my goals were consistently. So in the next 30 days, I will do X, 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 and X. And of course, that becomes a rolling strategy because as you start to do things, what you say each day changes because you're constantly going, okay, in the next 30 days, and you visualize ahead for the next 30 days. And that keeps it really tight because every single day, you're not just like thinking about a vision board and thinking about all of this, like, I'm going to do, you write it down, and the act of transferring your mental picture into a physical translation onto paper, like that act takes it from being esoteric to being physical.
Yes.
And it convinces your brain that it's an actual reality and not just an idea. So that started there. I would say that the broader the thinking time kind of questions, like those kind of questions, they have come been stimulated since reading The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham, which I mentioned at the start. I think it's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, I've never even heard of that book. That sounds really interesting. Very intriguing.
And a little bit of context. Keith Cunningham teaches business mastery at Tony Robbins Business Mastery Event. So
he's
definitely someone to pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all. How long's the book been out now then?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I only picked it up this year. I think it's probably been out for a couple of years now.
Okay, sweet, sweet. All right, let's talk more about you. So, obviously, we spoke a little bit about your journey early on. How old were you when you were going through that huge challenge?
So, I always get a little bit confused in my own age, which sounds a little funny. I think it's about 32, really.
Okay.
But it wasn't just something that happened in a snapshot of time. I mean, I left school early at 17, not because I sucked at school. I was very good at school. I left because I was already running my own businesses. And I just was like, okay, I know where I'm going and off mm-hmm. I went. And so from sort of 17 through to, you know, all through my 20s, I was running event companies, basically putting on music festivals, arts festivals.
Oh, wow.
You know, sporting festivals, stuff for that, like I worked on the Olympics, things, all kinds of different stuff. And I actually did that I actually worked across four different continents and had companies in three different continents. So, but as a 20 year old broadly, you know, all through my 20s, as someone, you know, 20 to 29 to 30, flying all around the world, working on music festivals, you know, the whole sex, drugs and rock and roll moniker was true. And it became what was once fun became a prison to me, not only because of the time, energy and effort, but because of the addictions and stuff that I developed along the way to cope with essentially huge levels of depression, which I didn't realize. Oh, you know, I was clouding out with drugs and alcohol to make sure I was still happy. And then, you know, it all sort of came to a head, started to come to a head probably when I was around about 29, going into 30, when I found I had my relationship. I'd actually gotten married and, you know, and now I've been divorced and stuff like that, but all through that period. But it was like, you know, I'd left my wife at the time. I was living on my office floor. I had no money. I was working 100-hour weeks and I was addicted to drugs and alcohol and I had nowhere to go. That's why I was living in my office. And I was like, oh, man, this is grim. How did I end up here? What happened? What happened to that 17-year-old who was like going to conquer the world, left school? And I was like, oh, man. And obviously, look, change, I'd love to say that change happens in a heartbeat and you just wake up and you're like, oh, I'm a new man. And it's like, it just doesn't. Like,
no, definitely like, not.
Change is a marathon, right? It was around that point in time that I met my now partner, Gabby, who's like I would credit the fact that I'm still alive to Gabby, because without her, I wouldn't have found the strength to persist and change and to become a better version of who I am.
Wow, that's incredible. What a whirlwind.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, it took a few years to turn things around. But ultimately, you know, and ultimately through turning things around, I realized that I didn't want to be in the industry that I've been in, and made a decision to you know, if you're going to change, make a change.
Yeah, absolutely. So going through that journey, and you said that Gabby obviously gave you the strength as well, but what was your mindset at the time? Like, how did you actually get through that period?
You obviously go through a lot of phases. If you're talking about, you know, trying to become a better human, it's going to be a few years. And look, no one's the best human, right? I'm every day I'm trying to work out how to become a better human, right?
Yes.
So it's not like I've arrived somewhere, but you know, it kind of, I kept sort of bumbling through and sort of trying to be a bit better, and look, you know, the drinking's not so bad, it's fun and people like it. I kept lying to myself. It all sort of culminated really in there was one that I remember distinctly the day that I really decided that enough was enough and things had to change.
Yep.
And it was in March of 2018. March of 2018, I was standing on a festival site in the middle of like regional Victoria. It's like 30 odd degrees, dust swirling everywhere, and I've got teams working for me. They're all out doing work, Gabby had, the day before, she had left the job site because she was like, I can't handle seeing you like this anymore. I was horrendously overweight. I was, because you've got to remember, like, the drugs and alcohol, that permeated through my work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very high functioning. But I was standing there at about 11 in the morning. I'd had a whole pharmacy's worth of different drugs, from stimulants to depressants to all kinds of stuff. And I was standing there literally, like, sort of swaying around trying to gather my thoughts. And I had this, I kind of looked out into the distance and I was like, all right, two things are going to happen. Like, you know, something's going to happen here. If I don't change, if I mean like really change, like if this does not stop, Gabby is never going to want to be with me again. She's already left the job site so that I can't handle this anymore.
Yeah.
Lose Gabby. And mm-hmm. in fact, if I keep going, I'm going to die. Like, it's that simple. Like, I'll be dead in a couple of years if I keep this up. That was kind of the moment where, you know, I had to go back and really confront myself and do the whole strip naked and stare in the mirror, literally, not metaphorically, and go, oh my God, like, who is this human? And then really just go through a process of trying to find out what has happened. And that whole process was, it was harrowing, but it was also, it was also very freeing because I realized that I really didn't have to be the identity that I had made up, because that's essentially all it was. I made up this idea around who I thought I was or who mm-hmm. I should be, rather than, you know. So yeah, it was good. And I pretty much, you know, went cold turkey and did a heap of stuff. And of course, even that's not linear. You know, I had a couple of moments where fell back into old habits, but yeah.
Well, funny you read my mind, because I was going to ask you, that was my next question, if you went cold turkey or did you do it over time, or how did you break free from drug and alcohol?
I'm a man of extremes. So in my drug and alcohol usage, I would say I was extreme. I would say I was on the upper echelons of what people would consider to be even humanly possible, because I like to live on the edges. And vice versa, when I decide that I don't want to do that, it's an extreme. I just said, no, I'll stop. I'll stop right now.
Yeah.
And I did. And look, there was some challenges there, but it was mostly mindset. Like, here's the thing about addiction. You have physical addiction and stuff, but just in the way that you have anything or have any experience as a human, because it really comes down to your strength of will.
Yes, definitely.
I understand physical addiction as someone who's actually struggled with it for like, you know, a long time. I understand the physical nature of addiction,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, it's all about mindset. Right?
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, whatever you make up your mind to do is what you'll do, for sure.
Totally. Yeah. Because I can tell you, not that I've done it, but I can tell you, climbing to the top of Mount Everest, that's not going to be a nice activity either. But the reason that some people do it and some people don't is because of the mindset.
It's correct.
The
same kind of physical
challenge that you need to overcome, and emotional challenge you need to overcome with addiction and stuff like that as well. So I did go cold turkey, and then probably over the course of 2018, I would probably say there was maybe three or four kind of significant, like, where I was like, oh, look, I've been sober now for like a couple of months. Oh, look, I've won. That's okay. I'll just have a glass of wine or I'll do something. And then that didn't work out well. And that kind of, that in and of itself, a couple of those situations happened around December of 2018. I was having a really bad time on a job. I was hating my life. Depression had kicked in. Things weren't good. And I reverted back to my old habits. And I woke up pretty much on Christmas Day alone in a hotel room next to a bottle. And I was like, okay, no, hang on a second. No, this is the moment. No more. Never again. And that's it. I've been straight up sober ever since.
Incredible. You feel so different, don't you? So amazing.
It's phenomenal. I would say it is. You don't have an addiction. You don't have to feel like, you don't have to identify as having an addiction or a problem. But I'd just put it out there and I would just say, like no drugs, no alcohol, like just removing that kind of stuff in your life. Man, what a game changer.
Oh, absolutely. I haven't given it up completely, but I did give it up for over a month, and all the epiphanies that I had how amazing I felt. Weight loss was just a dream. You didn't have to worry about that. It was like just the weight fell off in 5 seconds flat. It was like incredible. And the clarity of mind was just off the charts. Yeah.
I would challenge you, even if you don't want to do it forever and you're like, why would I do this? I would challenge you to do it for 12 months because you go in different phases. What happens is the first month is like a really big change to your body. The third month, you think differently. The sixth month, you think even more differently. By the 12th month, you'll be like seeing through walls and stuff. Like it's unreal.
Yeah, I would like to do it again, having said that. Yeah, absolutely, because it was just so mind-blowing. Yeah, yeah. Very cool. So tell me, how did you get through all of that and then start this business, Dash Dot Buyers Agents?
Yeah, so in amongst all of that kind of, addiction and failure, all of that kind of stuff, me and Gabby were a young couple, madly in love, and we were looking at life and going, things need to change. And we kind of looked externally, like most couples do, right? And we're like, okay, like, how am I going to stop working 100-hour weeks? Like, what are we going to do as a couple? Our relationship is getting a little more serious. And so we turned to property. Yep, it's like most young couples do. Should we buy an apartment together? And you kind of look around. Now, I remember at that point in my life talking to my business partner at the time and saying, and we were talking about how property works, and we sort of looked at each other and we're like, well, it just doubles every 7 to 10 years, right? We're like, yeah, pretty sure that's how it works. Okay, great. So you just buy any property and it goes up in value? Yeah. That's how it works. Okay, cool. And so with that amount of knowledge about real estate, Gabby and I decided that we were going to go and change the course of our financial future and also make a commitment in our lives together.
Right.
And, go buy an apartment together.
That'll be a good test.
It's awesome. So we bought the wrong property in the wrong place at the wrong time, right before, and this was in 2018, right before Melbourne prices fell off a cliff before the
election. Oh, wow.
And we sort of had this moment. I was looking around. I was like, hang on, I've seen people buy properties like 75 grand that are now worth $2.5 million. And I was like, hang on, I think we've just stuffed this up. I think we just made a mistake. Because I can see that other people have success in real estate. And I just, hang on, what have we done? And so that prompted me to go on a bit of a quest which became a real passion. In amongst everything else was happening in the events company, I was spending all of my time, energy, money, and in fact, I would almost suggest that it was leaning into this passion that allowed me to stay away from drugs and alcohol because I found something that almost I could fixate on.
Right? Yes.
I probably became a little bit addicted to that. I exchanged my addiction in some way, and I was like, okay, but at least it was a productive one, and I wanted to how does it work? Like, why do some people succeed and some people fail? Why do some properties go up in value and some don't, or even go down in value? And in fact, if I actually really did want to get ahead in life, how can I maximize my returns and minimize my downside? How can I do this? How can I hack the game? And it took a long time, a lot of energy and a lot of effort to kind of build different processes and really went a little bit data science-y and heaps of stuff. And eventually kind of went, okay, built a bit of a formula, I guess you would say, around, okay, what a property needed to do and how you would define those and all of this kind of stuff. And this was really about me and Gabby, about us trying to work out how to get our own lives ahead. But through this process, we realized we developed some pretty interesting, robust, and very valuable knowledge and skills. Now, we didn't immediately think, oh, let's monetize. We just thought, imagine if we could help people. Imagine if we could help people avoid the mistake that we made. Imagine if we could help people like my brother and so we started going, great, well, let's try and do that because that sounds fulfilling. The last decade hadn't felt very fulfilling. So we thought, well, let's go and try and help people. That might work.
Absolutely, definitely.
Totally, and so we did. And so in order to do that, I became a licensed real estate agent.
Yep.
We started a buyer's agency. We started helping people. And that's kind of snowballed. And we've become you know, a very healthy and widely respected company in the field. Some of the older people in the industry might not like us that much, is what happens when someone kind of rises up pretty quickly through the ranks.
Mm.
But we're helping a lot of people. So
that's the main thing. That's the most important. So for those out there, business owners, entrepreneurs, wanting to get into the property market, what are some initial steps they can take? Obviously, you know, they can work with you and use the formula that you've used through your own experiences. But what would you suggest, first and foremost, for them to get their head around and get started?
Totally. So for the business owners and entrepreneurs are different, I would suggest, from, like, we'll just say a mum and dad investor. And so for business owners, it's a really interesting question that you need to ask yourself. Because as business owners, we know that our time or energy and our effort can grow our business, and growing the business can be quite geometric in its returns and its results. The problem is there are a lot of podcasts, courses, books, guides, all of this kind of stuff, teaching people how to make more money in business, but no one is talking about what to do with it next. Like, no one's answering the question, like, what's next? So let's just say you do run a business. If you actually look into the future, sit there for a minute and go, what does life look like when I'm 60? And you're going to find yourself facing the same kind of question as you know, someone who's some like a classic, you know, mom and dad investor, work two jobs kind of scenario as well. Unless you actually have a plan, then you're going to end up shackled to your business. And we see this so many times.
Yes.
I don't really know any business owner, and, you know, if you do, let me know. I don't really know any business owner that could walk away from their job or their business for 12 months and come back and the business would be in a better financial state.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Exist, but it's probably not going to be as healthy as it once was. Now, if you can take your profits, right, you know, build a sustainable business, do all of that kind of stuff, have a good buffer, do all the right things, and then take your profits and start going, well, okay, how do I actually build something for the long term? And we call that the wealth building strategy, right? Because you've got to go to these different phases in growing a business. You know, you've got, all right, get the first initial users, get the first initial sales, and blah, blah, blah. And you start to scale up, build a team, and then you're like, okay, well, I can get a 5x to 10x return on my ads. But at a certain point, even scaling your ads means more work in the business. You've got to scale people to create more
mess,
all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Right? But if you can take a proportion of that and put it aside and go, okay, this is not how do I pay myself more so that I can go and buy a Ferrari. Like, live a nice, good, comfortable life, but I would suggest be humble. But what can you put aside that is going to set you up for the future? Now, to give it a little bit of context, because a lot of people think that real estate is slow, It is complicated. It's a dark art. You know, there's all of this kind of stuff. And a lot of people think, oh, my God, why would I want to put my money into real estate? If you do it well and if you do it correctly, so it's helpful to use a couple of examples. So one of our clients who is both partners, they're a mum and dad, right? But they are also both business owners and entrepreneurs, digital entrepreneurs.
Right.
They recently bought a property which produces about $20,000 a year in positive cash flow.
Right?
And so for them, they only need a couple of those, and they realize that then they can show up independently in their business and show up with passion and know that even if the business has a downturn, they've got everything covered.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
And they're going to do that in a couple of years. And I think that when you change your mind around your mindset around what real estate is, how it works, and why, you'll find that the path to building a sustainable wealth strategy and an income strategy outside of your business is probably about 600% shorter than we've been told.
Awesome. That's really good news for everyone out there, I'm sure. And look, I know a lot of people are really fascinated by property. You know, they've been out there, they've made some mistakes, they don't know what to do next, that type of thing. So obviously contacting you, reading your book, jumping on your podcast show as well, will give them some insights as to what steps they can take next, and looking at from, you know, a longer term point of view rather than just a quick fix, which, you know, too many people are wanting. So Goose, what's the best way for people to contact you and find out more information?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I would suggest a couple of things. If you want to get to know me a little bit better, if you want to explore real estate, if you're thinking about it, but you're not ready to, like, you're not jumping out of your skin ready to take action, if you head to theinvestorlab.com.au, you can get my book, you can get our podcast. There are loads of free downloadables that will give literally, and I don't mean this in hyperbole, literally give you everything you need to go and effectively and successfully invest in real estate. We haven't actually kind of tried to put it behind a paywall. We're like, guys, here's all the information you need. Go for it. However, if you want help, if you don't have the time, energy, or inclination, you can also contact me through that website. Or in fact, you can even just shoot us an email, hello@dashdot.com.au. Introduce yourself. Tell me you heard about me on this podcast. We'd be happy to have a chat, even if it's just to give you some guidance and advice, because a lot of people are lost and don't really know.
Definitely.
And I'm passionate about helping people to get from where they are to where they want to be. And if I can help you too, then that would be a pleasure and an honor.
Thanks, Goose. Lots of great advice there for budding business owners and entrepreneurs wanting to get into the property market. So thank you for your time this morning.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your comments and reviews, so please leave a review on iTunes.